I want to do a video on marriage and the importance especially of husbands and the calling and the mission that God has given to them. Marriage is in disarray today in our country and the church. Statistically, the church is doing just as bad as the rest of the world in terms of divorce and everything else. I mean, you name it, pornography, addiction, and all sorts of stuff. And so I'm a married man myself. I have a big family, and I have been married for 20 years now, and I've learned a lot in those 20 years. I've learned a lot about how to love my wife better. I've learned a lot about how sinful I really am. I always tell people I thought I was a pretty nice guy until I got married. And then I realized how I'm not a nice guy. And I had to learn how to be nice and how to be more loving and be better. But that's one of the reasons God gives us marriage, is to make us better, is to make us more like Christ. If you're used to being self-centered, marriage is not going to go overly well. It's not going to be a blessing. But God gave me a wonderful, wonderful wife who dearly loves me, who's sinful just like I am. But by the grace of God and because of the gospel and because of the work of His Spirit in our lives, it's been just a wonderful blessing to be married. But I wanted to share some thoughts here. I wrote a blog entry on this same topic. I'm going to read some of it here and just comment on it. I called this blog entry "The Husband's Calling and Mission." And what I'm talking about here is this. I've been privileged to do pre-marriage counseling with more couples than I can remember now, and I was thinking about that today, and I don't remember how many. I used to know, like, if I'd done, like, 3 or 4 or 5, or then it was, like, 7 and 8, and I don't remember how many weddings I've actually done now, so I guess that means I've been a pastor for a long time now, I guess. But, you know, the love tour has been going on for a long time now, and I don't remember how many weddings I've done. I've done a lot. But I wanted to speak here briefly about one thing I do remember about all those pre-marriage counseling sessions. One of the points that I really try to emphasize, besides the fact that there is a lot that could be said and that needs to be said, that I do say to wives about their duties, about their need to respect their husbands, to be submissive, to be an encouragement and a blessing to the lives of their husbands by building them up with their words and not tearing their own house down like Proverbs 14:1 says, and supporting their husbands and their vocations, etc. But I want to focus here in this video on a single verse that I have told every husband-to-be to have branded to their brain. And that's this, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way." And that's the key phrase. Live with your wives in an understanding way. "As with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." And so the husband is called upon by God to dwell, to live with their wife, and the term, the Greek phrase is kata gnosen, according to knowledge. You live with your wife, dwell with her, according to knowledge, and the New American Standard translates it, a very good translation, in an understanding way. What this literally means is this. Husbands, you need to study your wife and to figure her out. And I say that phrase over and over again until the guys that I'm doing pre-marriage counseling for literally get sick of hearing it. But I say it that often because I want them to remember it. You got to study your wife. You have to figure that woman out. You need to know her. You need to know exactly what you need to do in order to make her feel secure, to feel loved, and to be happy. And men, if we don't do that as husbands, we are failures as husbands. Now, I'd like to make a comment now that will preclude 99.99999% of what all men almost always say when they find out that their wife's not happy. Are you ready? I'm going to make a comment that will preclude 99.99999% of what men will say when they find out their wife's not happy. Okay, you ready? Husbands, your intentions and what you are trying to do are uniformly, utterly, and entirely irrelevant. You find out your wife's unhappy, Husbands, your intentions and what you're trying to do are uniformly, utterly, and entirely irrelevant. If men and women and people in general would stop saying things like this, I'm not purposely trying to hurt you, or I didn't mean to make you feel unloved, or I would never try to make you feel ugly, or it's not like I sit down and think about how I can make you feel unloved, and on and on and on, always exonerating the purity of our intentions and the purity of our motives. If only we could discard things like that, then conversations regarding conflict in marriage would actually be productive. Is this point clear enough, men? Your intentions and what you're trying to do are irrelevant to living with your wife in an understanding way. You must live with her according to knowledge, meaning you got to know her. She is completely unique. There has never been anyone like her before or since or right now. Every human being is entirely unique. And so you've got to study her and figure out what you need to do to make her uniquely feel loved, feel important, feel cherished. And what your motives are don't matter, because you got to figure out what to do that makes her specifically feel happy and feel loved and feel cherished. And so this is a lifelong project. You need to dwell with her according to knowledge. You need to know her really, really well. So it's got to be an ongoing study project. What does she like? What does she dislike? What do you do that makes her happy? What do you do that makes her unhappy? How does she need you to love her? Most likely, guys, I have a shocking newsflash for you. Most likely, it will not be what you would instinctively think. It would not be what you instinctively think. You need to figure out what she likes. Have you ever noticed when you get Christmas presents from people, they're usually a reflection of what that person is into? You know, I had a family member that's long passed away who knew full well that I was not into fishing. I just wasn't into it. But they were. And every year they would give me fishing lures that I never used. Now, what was their intention in giving me those fishing lures? Hey, they were trying to give me something that they were excited to give me. But the fact is, I didn't like fishing lures because I don't fish. I just never got into fishing. And it just amazed me. I'm like, don't they realize that I don't like fishing lures? But people do that. People will give you stuff that's a reflection of what they like. Men do that in their marriages all the time. And it's devastating to them. It's devastating to them. To their wife. You got to figure out what she likes. And be that person. You see, marriage is not so much I got to find the perfect person. It's I got to become the right person to make this person happy. I've got to love them in the way they need me to love them. Now, men, if you're thinking, wow, this sounds like a ton of work, and I'm not sure I'm up to that. You mean I've got to do this all the time, like every day for the rest of my life while I'm married to her? And the answer is, yeah. If you want to obey God and have a happy marriage. If you're thinking, then forget it. It might be good for me not to get married. And if you are thinking that, and you're not married yet, my answer is, good for you. I'm glad you figured it out now. If you're not ready to be an unselfish person, you're not ready to get married, period. If you're not ready to figure out how to love someone, how you need to change to make someone else, to make this woman be happy, how to bring out the very best in her, how to put her desires ahead of your own, you're not going to be ready to get married, for sure. Okay? Studying and understanding your wife is not a one-time thing. You will never get there, arrive there, and say, okay, I've got it now. I've got this woman completely figured out. It doesn't work that way. Why? Because she will be constantly changing, just like you will. Who she is tomorrow will be a little different. So you got to keep an eye on her. You got to keep studying her. You have to keep watching her. You have to keep dwelling with her in an understanding way. Katafus or gnosin, according to knowledge. You got to know her. And you still need to keep growing in your understanding of how to make her happy. In fact, in the Old Testament law, it was required that a man would take an entire year off when he got married. Listen to the profound wisdom of this in Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. When a man has taken a wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year to bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. Wow, that's wise right there. How'd you like that? We talk about doing a honeymoon, people go away somewhere for a week or for 2 weeks or something. How about a year? A year-long honeymoon with nothing to do except bring happiness to her. You know what that? Why that's there? Because, mem, you don't really, really know her until you're married to her. I mean, yes, you knew her somewhat, but once you're married, now you really, really get to know her. And you understand her strengths and her weaknesses. And you understand what she really does like. And you start to grow in your understanding of how to make her really happy. What you need to do to make her feel loved and cherished. And that's a big deal. That's really hard. It takes a lot of work. And men who are not willing to do that work are not going to have happy marriages. And certainly, men who are womanizers, men who go from one woman to the next, are the most despicable, self-centered people on earth who wouldn't know how to make anyone happy, let alone themselves. They themselves are miserable, and every woman that they've ever known is miserable too because of them. So I have no respect for men who are womanizers, men who go from one woman to the next. Just like that old Spanish proverb, I think it's profound and it's biblical. A man who loves many women actually loves none of them. And a man who loves one woman has loved them all. That first year, just think about it, when you're newly married, and indeed every year after it, it is a year of true discovery. I mean, it really is. You learn not only about them, but about yourself, about all the things that need to change in your own sinful, selfish, prideful attitude. Marriage is profoundly humbling. It really is. And you have to have the grace of God and the one true gospel in your heart, or it doesn't work. You're not going to be able to understand how to forgive one another in a way that doesn't lead to the seeds of bitterness and everything else. You are growing in your knowledge of who that woman is and what she is like and how to truly make her happy. You grow in your understanding of how to do that. And if you want to make her happy, here it is, guys. You have to stop being selfish. And you have to train yourself to think like Christ. In other words, to think only of others. You can't be selfish and be a good husband. It just doesn't work. It will never work. A husband who dotes on his wife and rejoices in her, enjoys her, loves her, compliments her, and gives her all the affection that she needs, whatever it might be, whether it's flowers or a hug or certain words that you say, notes, planning things out, whatever it is that really makes her feel loved. A guy that does that, he is going to be a happy person. And his wife will be a happy person. And they will really be able to weather the storms together, hand in hand together, because they always have that happiness. They always have that place of safety. They have that place where there's a true cherishing of one another, where, you know, there's nothing else in this world that a godly husband loves more than to spend time with his wife. To just sit across the table and look into her eyes still. And to hold her hand and to tell her, you're still beautiful. And I still love you. And I still think the world of you. A husband who does those things, who, here's another one, guys, you ready? Sacrifices his hobbies and interests in order to be with her and to do what she likes. And first and foremost, that guy is going to be happy, and he's going to have a happy wife, too. And together, they're going to have a happy world. Marriage is a calling from God. It's a wonderful privilege, and it's a huge blessing. But more than this, it is a calling for a man, especially, to embrace what it means to be Christ-like. You see, the husband is called in Ephesians 5:25 and following, to love his wife as Christ loved the church. The wife's not called to love her husband as Christ loved the church. Although her love for him needs to be of the same depth, but it's a special calling that the husband has to be Christ-like. He is the spiritual leader. He is the walking example of the gospel in his own home. He lays his life down for her, his hobbies and his other interests aside for his wife. More than this, marriage is a calling for man to embrace that Christ-likeness. You lay down your life in a practical way every single day to love, serve, protect, cherish, and rejoice in your wife, and that woman who put her heart and her entire future into your hands when she said, I do. Your wife's happiness, guys, your wife's happiness is a measure of your own godliness and your walk with Jesus Christ. What does your wife's face and her countenance say regarding your walk with Christ? What does her happiness say about your love for God? To be married is to learn the very meaning of the word, unselfish. You have to learn exactly what that word means, unselfish. I love, when I'm sitting here, the sun hits me right in the face at this time of day, every day. But you've got to learn the meaning of the word unselfish, guys. You must become other-ish instead of self-ish. You become other-ish and stop being selfish. So study your wife. Figure her out. Do what she needs you to do in order to feel loved, in order to feel beautiful, to feel cherished, secure, special, happy. Do whatever it takes for her to believe that in your eyes, there is no one other than her who holds your heart and your affections. Love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Dwell with her with understanding. Dwell with her with understanding. And figure out how to love her in a way that makes her as happy as a human being can be in this world. Thanks for watching.